Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I'm so excited. You know, here we are Wednesday night and we're doing something different. And the only way we can do it is through your faithfulness and your stewardship and through your giving. Again, you know, I've already said it tonight at the offering. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and your stewardship during COVID and all that we're going through. Without your commitment, without your faithfulness, we couldn't purchase the equipment for this technology for the church to keep taking new ground and moving forward. And so because of your faithfulness, you know, it's awesome that tonight we have a guest speaker. And we're so excited to bring Joe McGee from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Many of you know who Joe is. For many of you, he's brand new, but Joe's part of the family. Joe and Angel, we love them. He travels all over the country, speaking on the family, on finances, for men, you know, for parenting. And I encourage you, you know, to follow him on his social media. I encourage you to become a partner of him, of his. We're a partner as a church. We love him dearly. You're going to be blessed. Get ready to take notes. You know, those of you in your small groups, those of you in your watch parties, get ready right now. Put everything aside. You know, just like we have guidelines at church to receive from God, make some guidelines right there in your small group, your watch party, right there where you're at, gathered together. I know you're going to be blessed. I know your life is going to be better for being together tonight at Church on the Rock. So welcome with me to Church on the Rock, Joe McGee.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be with you. You know what? We live in the greatest time of human history. If you could have looked back at the beginning of time, if you could have asked God, if God could have said, when would you like to be born, Joe? I said, well, I don't know. Let me look down through history and see. So you can imagine, before the earth was here, before anything was created, God said, well, when would you like to be born? You want to be born in the Garden of Eden? No, I don't think that's going to go too good. They're going to get fired, evicted, and kids going to start killing each other. No, thank you. Well, you like boats, don't you? I love boats. Well, you want to be born with Noah in the ark? Big boat. And I said, no, no rudder, no motor. No, that's not going to turn out good. When you want to be born, when my son comes to earth? I said, no, I don't think that. They're going to nail him to cross the 70 miles either side of Jerusalem. No, Father, I don't want to be born then. Well, son, when would you like to be born? And so, Lord, if I could choose, would you let me be born in the last days when your spirit's poured out without measure? And our sons and daughters are going to prophesy. We're going to dream dreams and have visions. Lord, if you could let me be alive in the greatest day of human history. And that's where we're at. We're alive in the greatest day of human history. And so we've had a year like everybody else, you know, when COVID hit and we couldn't travel for 3 months. Everything got shut down. And we met with the staff the next morning. I said, well, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're not going to lay anybody off. We're not going to close things down. We're going to get busier than ever. We got to get creative. What can we do? So we launched our podcast. I think in December we had 2.1 million downloads of our podcast. We didn't have a podcast back when COVID hit. And so God's very creative. There's things you can always do. You're looking for the open door, not for the closed door. And so a lot of people have called and got friends, got family. Joe, what are you doing? I said, financially. I said, well, we're doing what we've always done. We're paying bills and expecting increase and spending God's blessing. And so they asked, well, technically, what are you doing? I said, well, we've got a marriage, somebody we've taught for years, but it boils down to four basic things. I said, you know, my favorite scripture is 3 John 2. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. What does that mean? Well, I need to have a prosperous soul. If my health and my wealth is based on my soul, I need to get my face in the Word of God. And so I used to tell my kids, you know, we got 8 adult kids all out of school and out of college and grown. But I still tell them the Word of God's still your source. You know, what's God say? What's God saying to you? And so God doesn't yell. God speaks in a still small voice. And so I go back to this and your soul is based on, you got to feed on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. I cannot please God without faith. Where's faith come from? The Word of God. I can't resist the devil without faith. 1 Peter 5, I'm to resist the devil in the faith. So either pleasing God or resisting the devil, it's going to take faith. Well, faith's a muscle. Some people have great faith, some weak faith, some small faith, some have no faith. So where do I get faith? From the Word of God. And that comes from the Bible. So I tell people, adults, children, partners, family members that call, have you read your Bible lately? Because that's where faith comes from. You got to get your faith in the Word of God. Now, I've had family members say, well, I read it and I didn't understand it. I said, well, read it again. You know, you can read it more than one time. And so it's been a great, great year. And I told people, you know, if COVID had not hit, you understand, just in 1 month, and this is us, this is just our ministry, but in 1 month, we reached 2.1 million people. I'd have to travel for years on end to reach that many people. But I did it in 1 month. Why? COVID hit. God's always trying to work a blessing out of a curse. God said, we're blessed and highly favored. He blessed everything we set our hand to. Well, he didn't lie. So we got to trust God. Every day you get to trust God. I've had people that lost their jobs. Well, you got to get another one. Where am I going to get one? Well, go out and start knocking on doors. I read a book one time, What Color's Your Parachute? I said, you need to go for 66 job applications before you really find a good one. And so when my kids are coming out of college trying to get jobs, you know, you got a college degree. I said, a college degree will not get you a job. Now, I believe in education. I'm an educator. All 8 of our kids have got college degrees. But I told them, that degree won't get you a job. It won't even get you an interview. Your ability to help somebody do something is what's going to get you a job. And so I collected biographies for years, 1,206 biographies. When I was a school administrator in those 10 years, I collected 1,206 biographies of people who became millionaires and some billionaires, none of whom finished school. Now, I'm an educator. I believe in education, but an education won't get you a job. Your ability to get your job. It's not your degree. It's not your GPA. It's not your IQ. It's your ability. Well, put your hand to something. I said, do something. Work at something. You quit waiting for the perfect job. Just start one. Now, that's how you build a resume anyhow. And so when we went through this situation, I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to back it up a little bit. So we'll go back to this. Get your Bible open every morning. Just read a proverb a day. You got 31. You can get 31 days a month, most of the month. Just read one proverb. If you read one proverb a day for a month, it'll change your life forever. And so it starts with just money. Well, that's back from the money. Start with your soul. My bank account's based on my soul. What's in my soul? Well, the Word of God. What do you believe? I believe God wants to bless what I put my hand to, that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and death. That God's going to surround me, Psalms 5:12, with a shield of divine favor. People are going to like me and not even know why they like me. That's a promise from God. Well, how do you get that to work? Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. I say what God says, not what the news says. And for a year, I told all my friends that called, Joe, did you see the news? Said, no, we turned it off. There's nothing good. Good news doesn't sell. Bad news sells. And so we've been through this roller coaster all year long. And listen, we believe in obeying the laws of the land. They ask you to do the thing, wear the mask, we wear the mask or whatever. But this is going to pass. This isn't going to last. And so I remember I collected history facts for years. And so I carried a piece of paper with me that's called the 8 major catastrophes of the last 100 years in America, starting with the crash of 1929. In 1929, when the stock market crashed, people in New York City jumped off buildings, committed suicide. Do you know that same year that people were killing themselves, some people became millionaires and billionaires? There's always two groups of people. There's some people that curse the darkness, some people light a candle. It's always been that way. And so we went to World War I. We thought the world was coming to an end. No, it's just World War I. You know, involved about 30 nations. World War II broke out. Everybody's at war. Man, you know, it was horrible. And so things are taking over. It's like, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to have to do something. And so, well, that came to an end after 6 years. And so that war, we won that. And then I remember 1973, the OPEC embargo. Gasoline in my town was 25 cents a gallon. 25 cents a gallon. All of a sudden, it shot up to over $1 a gallon. People were panicking. In my little country town, we had a little gas station, 2-lane highway. I remember one day I went to get gas. They'd only sell you 10 gallon at a time. Only sell you 10 gallon at a time. And so people were in line running out of gas while they were waiting to get gas. We had to help little old ladies push their car up. Some guys were getting in fistfights. It was a mess. Then we got through the dot-com crash. I mean, and I made a list of all the things. And so people, is this the end? No. Jesus said when he comes back, when Jesus comes back, and he's not here yet, that we will be eating drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, building, and planting. Jesus said it would be business as usual the day he comes to get us. And so we've still got a while to go. We've got stuff to do. I said, listen, if you haven't heard the trumpet sound, get busy. Go to work. Mow your lawn. Wash your dishes. Do something. Be a blessed to your neighbor and your community. Go help somebody. You know, the Bible says this, you know, we don't have to worry about us. All of our needs have been supplied according to God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't need anything. My needs have been supplied. Now I have to work. It requires effort. I used to teach my kids, money is based on two things, faith and works. Faith that work is dead. Work without faith is dead. You got to believe God, but you got to go to work. And you need to show up early. You need to stay a little later than most people. Don't take a long lunch break. Be valuable to somebody. Make them want to give you a raise. Make them want to hire you. Don't gripe. Don't write nasty things on the bathroom wall when you take a break. Be a blessing to somebody. And so when we go through these tough times, there's always just two groups. I've said forever, there's always two groups. And so in the financial thing, I said, listen, guys, number one, read your Bible. 10 minutes, 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day, one proverb will change your life. Start feeding on the Word of God, and you'll build your faith. That muscle will start building up. Number two, get yourself a budget. You know, Proverbs 24 says, any prize becomes strong through planning, grows through common sense, profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. So you need a budget. So everybody I've ever helped financially, I said, have you got a budget? No, we don't have any money. Well, you're not going to get any money until you get a budget. Well, I don't need a budget till I get money. No, you got it backwards. You got the cart in front of the horse. You get a budget on a piece of paper, then you know what you need to believe God for. What do you need? Well, I need X number of dollars a month and X number of dollars a year. Well, where are you right now? We're not even half that. Well, we get to start believing God. For what? Divine favor, opportunities. God said he'll open doors that no man can shut. But what are you looking for? Are you looking for the closed door? Are you looking for the bad thing? What are you looking for? You got to start looking for something good. And so we go through the whole process where get a budget, how much you believe for, channels of income. I tell people, the average American will change not jobs. The average American will change vocations 5 times in their lifetime. You got to learn a whole new way of earning a living. So quit panicking, quit griping, quit cussing at the dark. Get up, go to work, find a job. I've sent so many people to the unemployment office. I said, I love the unemployment office. I got 2 jobs. I've been laid off twice where I didn't have a job. 2 great jobs, and all of a sudden, one day they shut the whole company down. What'd you do? I went to the unemployment office. What'd they do? They made me take a test. I don't want to take a test. I need a job. We don't know what kind of job to give you. I'll take any job. I have no job. I need a job. But took the test and said, well, Mr. McGee, based on the results of your test, look for a job in one of these 3 areas. And I tell people, how'd you become an engineer? I got laid off, and I went to the unemployment office. I took a test, and one of the 3 things I'd be good at, I'd become a good engineer. I couldn't even spell engineer. I got 2 E's in it or 1. But you know what? 7 years later, I was an engineer living in a nice house with a great job. There's always a door. God said, nothing's ever come upon me that he's not already made a way of escape. Already made a way of escape. And so when we go through the Word of God, I used to tell people, that's why you need to read your Bible. It builds your faith. And you need faith to please God and to keep the devil at bay. God's promised us victory, but we do have to fight. You got to fight for it. I got a great story every time I teach on money. In Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel, they've left Egypt. You know, they've been in captivity for 400 years. They're poor. They're broke as dirt. You know, they don't have anything. And so they're coming out, and so they're going to the promised land. Houses you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant. We're going to the land of plenty, the land of more than enough. And so they're going to the promised land. And so all of a sudden they get there. And it's been a long journey, you know. They get there and they gripe the whole way. God led them to no water. And then Moses had to slap the rock and water came out. God led them to bitter water. You know, cut the tree, threw it down, made the water sweet. God led them where there's fire at night and the cloud during the day to keep them cool in the day and keep them warm at night. God, 10 times, the Bible says, 10 times God tested them in the way of the promised land. What's he wanting them to do? He's wanting them to use their faith. What is faith? It's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How do you get bigger faith? The Word of God. Sit in church, listen to your pastor, read your Bible, fellowship with the saints. That's where you get great faith. Hang out with other believers. feed on what the pastor tells you. You know, get his CDs, get his tapes, download all of his messages, listen to him again and again. It builds faith. So here they come. They come to the, they're there. They're coming to the cross, this side of the river. They're going to cross over to the promised land. And all of a sudden they have a meeting. Now this is in Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to paraphrase, but you can read it for yourself. Read Numbers 13, 14, and 15. Here they are. They've been slaves for 400 years. They've come out of the horrible things of Egypt. People loaded them up with silver and gold when they left. Just get out of here. They get down to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind. He tries to chase them. Moses just got that stick. That was a great stick. He lifts up that staff. He parts the water. They cross over. Pharaoh tries to chase his men. Lifts the staff again. The water ran. And God drowns all their enemy. The entire Egyptian army drowned. Israel didn't drown. They got delivered. God's trying to bless his people. God's always trying to bless his people. And so on the journey over there, the bitter water, the no food, manna rained out of heaven. And what God's trying to, he's trying to let them know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will supply all of your need according to my riches, the glory of Christ Jesus. So we thought I'd already been to school for all this time. Well, now they get to the promised land. They're going to go over. So here's what they do. Moses decides, hey, you know, let's send 12 spies into the land and see if it's just like God said. So they pick one man from each tribe, 12 tribes. So they go over the next morning. So for 40 days, they're spying out the promised land. Now, there's 2.5 million people back on this side of the river waiting for them to come back. What's it like? Was it like what God said? They're waiting, you know. Maybe did they get killed? Did they get captured? I mean, what's going on over there? Because, you know, there's no radio, no TV, no cell phone. They're just waiting. Well, 40 days later, they come back. They cross the water. 2.5 million people said, man, what was it like? What was it like in the promised land? Well, the 12 guys said, just like God said, man, it is a bountiful country. I mean, it is a fruitful country. Big old houses. Got grapes the size of cantaloupes. And as a matter of fact, they brought back a cluster of grapes that took 2 men to put that cluster on a pole and carry it between them. Now, I bought grapes my whole life in a grocery store. I've never seen grapes so many, so large. You had to take 2 grown men to carry it out of the store on a pole. But that's what they had. I'm talking about the pomegranates and all the fruit and the stuff that they saw. And so they're coming back to the children of Israel. It's just like God said. It's a land of milk and honey. It's a land of more than enough. And then all of a sudden, but they said, now you can read it in Numbers 13, but there are giants in the land. And they're big. They're ugly. They got 10 fingers and 6 fingers and 6 toes. And they're 10 foot 2 inches tall. And we even asked them what they thought about us. They said, you look like a grasshopper. And it's in the Bible. You can't make that up. You know, you go through the lens of, what do I look like? You look like a grasshopper. And so they thought we looked like grasshoppers. Well, when they brought back that evil report, the people began to cry. And they're moaning and groaning and crying like, what happened? What happened? So, well, there's giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers. We can't do this. We can't do this. And so all of a sudden, people thought, oh, if we'd only died in Egypt. Oh, if we'd only died in the wilderness. Oh, we should have stayed. And so they started making plans to go back to Egypt. We want to be a slave again. We don't want to have nothing. We just want somebody to feed us and just work us like a dog, you know. I mean, they just turn tail and run. But all of a sudden, of the 12 spies that went in, the Bible says 10 gave an evil report, 2 gave a good report. Well, Joshua and Caleb said, says, no, it's just like God said. It's a land of more than enough. Big old houses, big old grapes. It's an abundant land, man. It's incredible. We can do it. Let's go take it now. Well, now listen to me. 12 men went into the promised land. All 12 saw the same thing. All 12 heard the same thing. All 12 ate the same thing. They saw the same thing. But 10 saw an evil report. 2 saw a good report. They saw the same thing. What was the difference? The heart. What are you looking for? Bad. You'll find it. Oh, I bet we're going to get laid off. I bet we're going to get COVID. We're going to get the flu. Well, you'll probably get it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Call those things that be not as though they are. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We should say that. God inhabits praise. When do you praise? When you don't feel like it? That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. What are you doing? I'm thanking God for what? What I'm going to get. You have it? Not yet, but I'm going to thank you for it. And that's how it starts. God inhabits praise. So they're throwing a fit all night long. They cry and they complain. Some said, God's talking to Moses. God said, that's it. That's it. I've had enough. 10 times I tested them coming to the promised land. 10 times I tried to get them to use their faith. 10 times I tried to get them to do miracles, and they wouldn't do it. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Everybody that's 20 years of age and up, go back to the wilderness, and they're going to wander in the wilderness till they all drop dead. I'll take their children in. I'll take their children in, but not till the dust drop dead. So we have the 40 years in the wilderness. So you understand? So when Moses tells them, you know, God's mad. God said, no more promised land, no more houses you didn't build, no more grapes the size of cantaloupes, no more blessings. Why? You don't want it. You gripe the whole time. You complain the whole time. God is very long-suffering, but not forever. I mean, it's in Scripture. God is very patient, long-suffering. He is so long-suffering, but not forever. You know, talks about in Proverbs 1, there'll come a day, God said, you'll come look for me and you can't find me. You know, you call my name and I will not answer, and hell's going to land on you. And God said, I will laugh. It takes faith to please God. And God's given us faith. He's given us a measure of faith. Everybody's got a measure of faith. And then he lets us grow our faith and use our faith and become strong in our faith. And it pleases God when we do that. So all of a sudden they start to cry. And they said, okay, oh no, we changed our mind. We'll go, because they got to thinking about it. We don't want to go back to Egypt. No, we'll go. And God said, it won't do any good. I'm not going with you. So the next day, the children of Israel tried to cross and go over to the promised land. Thousands of them died. They came back. When they realized, God said, I'm not going with you. So I used to tell people, you don't want to go where God's not at. You don't want to do what God's not doing. No, we're children of God. Why? Because we do what the will of God is. How do you know the will of God? Well, I ask him every day, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, a lot of people I met, they're waiting on a burning bush or two angels to show up and talk to them in the living room. That's not going to happen. You know, when Saul became king, now, God didn't want him to have a king. He wanted him to have prophets. I'll talk to you directly. And so they thought, no, we want a king like the other nations have a king. Give us a king. So God told us, fine, give him a king, Samuel. So he picked Saul. And so Saul gets anointed, and God says, okay, I'll give him a king. And he's the one. Now, you know what that's going to do. You're going to have taxes now, because the king's got to have a house to live in, a chariot to ride in, and some horses to pull that chariot. It's going to take money to have a king. Didn't before, but it is now. So anyhow, Saul becomes king, and once he's anointed, Saul gets up. It's a God moment. God's picked him. God's anointed him. And so Saul gets up, and he asks God, well, what do I do next? And God told Saul, well, look around. Do you see anything that needs to be done? And Saul said, yes. Then God said, well, get busy. You don't need a burning bush. You don't need a light from heaven. You only three angels show up in your bedroom and sing to you. Just do what you find your hand finds to do. You know, they asked Paul one time why he went to Macedonia. And the great apostle wrote 2/3 New Testament. And they asked him one time, why didn't you go to Macedonia? Apostle Paul prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody, you know. Why didn't you go to Macedonia? And Paul said this, it seemeth right. That's his only answer. The guy that writes 2/3 of the New Testament, prays the Holy Ghost more than anybody, said, well, it just seemed right. You didn't have a burning bush? No, it just seemed right. You didn't have 2 fallen stars or wise men visit? No, just seemed right. So I tell people all the time, just do what it seems right to do. If you make a wrong move, God will talk to you. Get up and get busy doing something. You don't need a sign. You don't need a burning bush. You don't need a bush to catch on fire in your front yard. Just get up and do what seems natural. Be a blessing. The Bible says we're called the salt and light of this planet. We're to give water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, help orphans, help widows, visit people in prison, nourish sick people back to health. We're the salt and the light. What's your job? Be a blessing. You know, they asked Jesus. They asked Jesus one time, you know, he's being busy. He's 3.5 years of ministry. And they asked him one time, what do you got planned today, Jesus? And it's in your Bible. You can read it. And Matthew said, well, I got a busy day planned today. I said, first thing, I'm going into town this morning. I'm going to raise a dead man at a funeral. And that's going to get him wound up. I'm going to raise a dead man at a funeral. I'm going to put some eyeballs in a blind man's head. You know, he had a whole busy day. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a blessing. So that I'm going to go out here on the hillside and then I'm going to create 5,000 Happy Meals. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a blessing today. I'm going to raise a dead kid. I'm going to create 5,000 Happy Meals. I'm going to leave everybody better than I find them. So every day when you and I get up, quit looking at what you don't have. Well, we don't have this. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't go here. I tell you, well, what can we do? And that's the big question. What can you do? What do you have? You know, their prophet asked one time, lady, what do you got? He said, well, I got nothing. I got a half can oil. He said, that's all you're going to need. And with that half can oil, she broke a retirement program off that half a can oil. God will bless whatever you got to do, whatever you have in your hand. It's not your IQ. It's not your GP. It's how much of God do you know? How much you're willing to let him use you? Because God's a show off. He loves showing up. It is his biggest thrill. God loves to just be bigger than anybody around him. So I tell my kids all the time, they call, Dad, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing what you're doing. I'm believing God. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to believe God. Well, what are you going to do? Every day I get to solve problems. Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. Well, if you look it up, one other translation, it says, blessed are the problem solvers. A peacemaker is a problem solver, not a problem creator. A peacemaker is a problem solver. So are you a problem solver in your home? Are you a problem solver in your marriage? Are you a problem solver with your business? Well, if not, you're probably not getting any raises. But people probably said bad things about you behind your back. But if you become a problem solver, God's trying to bless your socks off. What are you going to do? I think I'll be a problem solver. I'm going to leave people better than I find them. I am the salt and the light of this planet. For whatever reason, God has allowed me to be alive in the greatest days of human history, the last days. And so every day I get up. What do you think? And they ask, when do you think Jesus is coming? I said, I don't know. I had a pastor one time tell me this, because end times were a big thing, you know, years ago. And, man, we went through it. We read all the books, 666, the Illuminati, the Rockefeller Files. Man, we thought we were in the middle of it. And I had friends that were storing up gas masks and bottled water in the basement. Why are you doing that? The Bible said there'll be plenty of children, plenty to feed them. Jesus said in the last days, here's what Jesus said. Now, maybe he made this up. Jesus said in the last days, people will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage, buying, selling, building, and planting. Jesus said it will be business as usual until the day he comes to get the church. So the COVID thing, it's going to pass. And there'll be another flu, a Wuhan flu, a Wuhan flu. There'll be another flu. You know, when I was a kid, if you got the mumps and the measles, and we had a big family, my dad had 12 brothers and sisters, and so did my father-in-law. But when we were kids, if somebody got the measles, somebody called. Now, we had one country church sit on a hill right outside of Turtletown, Tennessee. No air conditioning, no heat, no lights, just one big room, door in the front, door in the back, steeple on top. And so we called him, being called with the, hey, cousin's got the flu, we'll meet you at church, noon. And we'd meet the church at noon, and we'd hang out with the buddies that had the flu, or the measles, or the chicken pox, or the mumps. People say, how'd you get the chicken pox? I play with my cousins in church all day. What are you trying to do? Get it over with. And so I think we built up a great immune system, you know? So what it is, people said, well, maybe we can escape something. Well, you can't escape nothing. God promised, he said, listen, he'd heal all of our diseases, that we would lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. We get to use our faith. And sometimes it takes a little faith. Sometimes it takes great faith. But it doesn't matter. Faith still works. Where's it come from? It comes from the Word of God. So what are you going to do? I want to start feeding on, reading, and meditating on the Word of God. That's what we do. And so we live, I'll say it real simply. I live, you live, in the greatest moment of human history. Wouldn't it be a shame to go to heaven and you meet all the saints that are watching us run our race? The Bible says there's grandstands in heaven. They watch us run our race. Moses, Noah, Jephthah, they're all up there watching us. Can you imagine going to heaven? And one of the saints said, what was it like in the last days, Joe, when God's spirit was poured out without measure? Can you imagine somebody says, well, it was hard. Man, COVID hit. I got laid off. My dog bit me. My wife left me. I got fired, you know? I don't think you're going to get to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think they got card tables in heaven like they used to have at family reunions. You remember those card tables? You knew you were an adult when you got to sit at the big table. until you became an adult, you're at the card table with all the kids, and you didn't get a good piece of chicken. You got a little chicken leg. That's the only chicken you got. You are a chicken leg Christian. I tell people, I don't want to be a chicken leg Christian. I want to go to heaven. I want to lay up treasure in heaven. I want to have a big mansion. I want what God's provided for me. I'm not going to back into heaven and hang my head. Man, I want to go to heaven and shout. I want to be the last person to leave this planet. People used to laugh all the time. So, man, you know, I had two aunts live to be 100 and one lived to be 104. And people said, man, you got long life. Yeah, man, I'm going to be here a long time. I want to be the last person off this planet. As long as I'm here on this planet being a blessing, I'm laying up treasure in heaven. I'm trying to find somebody to be a blessing to. And the last days, there's a ton of opportunities, a ton of people we can encourage, we can help, we can be a blessing to. We live in the greatest moment of human history. So watch your attitude. Every day you get up, start your day by thanking God. Father, I want to thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You're going to open doors for me no man can shut. You're going to surround me with divine favor. People going to like me, not even know why. Start saying what God says. Get your mouth moving. Let the word of God do something for you. And I promise you, you're going to be blessed because of it. Guys, it's been the greatest moment of human history, and we're here. So let's make the most. Let's go to heaven shouting amen. Bow your heads. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for the truth of your word that sets us free and keeps us free. Thank you, Father, for bringing to our remembrance what you taught us. May it bear 100-fold fruit in our lives. Father, put us in the belly button of your will in the last days. Don't let us go left. Don't let us go right. Put us in the middle of what you're doing, Father. We don't want to watch from the sideline. We want to be a part of it. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes one more minute. Two questions, heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you here today and said, Joe, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never, ever asked him into my heart, but God's been dealing with me, and I'd like to do something about that today. Well, if that's you, I'd like to pray a 30-second prayer over you right out of the book of Romans. The Bible says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's real simple. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you and God raised from the dead? Well, the Bible says, if you confess that with your mouth, you'll be saved. You don't have to fast for 40 days or crawl on your knees or shave your head or, you know, suck rug. No, you just need to believe Jesus is the Son of God and confess that with your mouth. If you're willing to do that, you'll leave today different than you came in. Or perhaps you're here today and say, Joe, I'm saved. I just haven't been living for God lately. But Joe, I've been stirred up today. I think I'm ready to get serious with God. Well, if that's you, you pray the exact same prayer out of Romans we're going to pray with these other people, and God in heaven will forgive you every sin you have ever committed in a moment of time. He will take your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will put it in the depths of the sea. There'll be no record of your sin in heaven, and God will make the devil pay back seven times whatever he stole from you. It will never get easier than this. So, Father, right now, just pray this prayer for me. If you pray either one of those, if you can get born again for the first time or rededicate your life, just say this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I do believe he is your son. He died for me, and you raised him from the dead. I ask him now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. If you prayed that prayer right now, two things are happening. God in heaven right now just saved you. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to live forever in heaven. If you prayed that, it's a reaffirmation of your faith in God. Right now, every sin you've ever committed has been put in the depths of the sea. There's no record of that sin in heaven. Father, I thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Right now, you've taken blindness off their minds, enlightened eyes understanding. Sin labors across their path. Father, put them in a great group of people. Talk to them, they go to sleep, when they get up and they walk through the day. We welcome them both into the family and back into the fold in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless, guys. Thanks for this day. We live in the greatest day of human history. God bless.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.